July 2nd, 1926. The great difference between the sanctity of virtues and that of living in unity of the life of the divine.
Terry, we can't hear. It's a bad connection there.
Or maybe move your phone away from your computer.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay. July 2nd, 1926. The great difference between the sanctity of virtues and that of living in the unity of the divine.
No, it's not good. Terry, it's not good, yeah.
I'll just let somebody else
read. Sure, I can read shortly. July 2nd, 1926. The great difference between the sanctity of virtues and that of living in the unity of the light of the divine will. As I was in my usual state, my sweet Jesus showed divine justice in the act of unloading itself over the earth, commanding the elements to rage against creatures. I trembled in seeing that somewhere there were waters inundating towns, almost to bury them. Somewhere the wind transported and eradicated plants, trees, and houses with a mighty power, to the point of making a heap of them, leaving various regions in the most squalid misery. Somewhere else there were earthquakes, crawling with considerable damage. But who can say all the evils that were about to swoop down on earth? In addition to this, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen in my interior as suffering in a harrowing way because of the many offenses that creatures were giving him, especially because of the many hypocrisies. It seems that under the apparent good, they had poison, swords, spears, and nails hidden to wound him in every way. Then, as if Jesus wanted me together with him to suffer, he told me, "My daughter, the scale of my justice is full and the overflowing upon creatures, and is overflowing upon creatures. As a daughter of my will, do you want me to place you in the reflections of my justice that you may share in its blows? Indeed, it is about to make a heap of the earth, and while satisfying justice with your suffering, you will spare your brothers. One who lives in the high kingdom of the supreme will must defend and help those who are down below." Now, while he was saying this, I felt as if divine justice was pouring its reflections over me. And as Jesus identified me with himself, I suffered his blows, his wounds, and his pains together with him. There were so many that I myself did not know whether I would be left dead or alive. But to my highest sorrow, withdrawing, my Jesus mitigated my pains, and I remained once again crossing my hard and long exile. But always, fiat, fiat. I would rather have passed over all this, but obedience imposed itself, and to my greatest reluctance, I had to make a little mention of it. Who can say how I was left? And my sweet Jesus, to cheer me, resumed his speaking about his most holy will. "My daughter, come with me in the midst of creation. Heaven and earth await you. They want the one who, animated by that same will that animates them and gives them life, would make the whole creation resound with that most sweet echo of the eternal love of their Maker. They want your voice, which flowing in each created thing would animate their mute language with that perennial glory and adoration to their Creator. And since all things are bound to one another, and one is the strength of the other, because one is the supreme will that vivifies them and preserves them, one who possesses it is bound to them with the same strength and with the same union. So, if you are not present in the midst of creation, because of your absence, they would feel the universal strength and the bond of inseparability lacking in to them. Therefore, come into our dominions, for everyone longs for you. And at the same time, I will make you comprehend more things about the great distance that exists between the sanctity of one who possesses the unity of the light of the kingdom of my will and the sanctity of submission, of resignation, and of virtues. Now, while he was saying this, I found myself outside of myself, and I tried to make my I love you, my adoration, resound over all created things. And Jesus, all goodness added, my daughter, look at the heavens, the stars, the sun, the moon, the plants, the flowers, the sea, look at everything. Each created thing has its distinct nature, its own color, its littleness, and its height. Each of them has its distinct office, and one cannot do what the other does, nor produce the same effects. So, each created thing is a symbol of the sanctity of virtues, of submission and resignation to my will. According to the virtues they have practiced, souls have drawn a distinct color within themselves. Therefore, it can be said that one is red flower, another purple, another white, one is plant, one is tree, another is a star, and according to how they have submitted to the reflections of the Supreme Will, so have they developed in fecundity, in height, in beauty. But one is their shade, because of my will, like solar ray, gave them the color of the seed which they themselves had placed in their soul. On the other hand, the sanctity of one who lives in the unity of the light of my will is a birth from that single act of her creator, which is one in the creative hands, and yet the rays of his will, coming out of God, invade everything and produce works and effects so innumerable that man cannot arrive at counting them all. So since this sanctity is a birth from that single act, it will be the Supreme Will's care and jealousy for it to enclose all colors, all the different beauties, and all possible imaginable goods within itself. And so, more than blazing sun, it will enclose and eclipse within itself all the creation with its different beauties. One will see all the goods of redemption enclosed in it, as well as all sanctities. And I, showing off my love more than ever, will place the seal of my very sanctity within one who has possessed the kingdom of my will. Do you know how it will be for your creator with regard to this sanctity of living in my will? It will happen as to a king who has no offspring. This king never enjoys the affection of a child of his own, nor does he feel like lavishing all his paternal caresses and his affectionate kisses, because in no one does he see his own progeny, his own features, someone to whom to entrust the destiny of his kingdom. Poor one, he lives always with a nail in his heart. He lives always surrounded by servants, by people who do not resemble him. And if they remain around him, it is not out of pure love, but out of self-interest, to gain riches and glory, and maybe even to betray him. Now, suppose that the sun comes to the light for him after a long time. What is not the feast of this king? How he kisses him, caresses him, he cannot remove his gaze from his son, in whom he recognizes his own image. Just newly born, he gives him his kingdom and all of his goods as inheritance. And his complete joy and feast is that his kingdom will no longer belong to some strangers, to his servants, but to his dear son. So it can be said that what belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and what belongs to the Son belongs to the Father. Now, one who will possess the kingdom of my will be for us like a child born after about 6,000 years. What joy, what feast will not be ours in seeing our image in him, intact, beautiful, just as we delivered it from our paternal womb. All the caresses, the kisses, the gifts will be for this child, more so since having given in creation the kingdom of our will to man as his special inheritance, and since this kingdom of ours has been in the hands of strangers, of servants, of traitors for so long a time, in seeing this son who will possess it as a son and will give us the glory of the kingdom of our will, our inheritance will be placed in safety on the part of this son. It is not right that we give him, is it not right that we give him everything, even our very selves, and that he encloses everything and everyone? While Jesus was saying this, I became concerned, and I said to him, "How can all this be possible, my love?" And Jesus added, "My daughter, do not be surprised. By possessing the kingdom of the supreme will, the soul will possess a divine, infinite, eternal will, which encloses all goods, and one who possesses everything can give us everything. What will be our contentment, our happiness, and his, in seeing the littleness of the creature in this kingdom of ours, taking from us continuously as the owner, as our true child? And since what he takes from us is divine, he takes the divine, and the divine he gives to us. He takes the infinite, and the infinite he gives to us. He takes immense things from us, and immense things he gives to us. He takes light from us, and light he brings to us. He will do nothing but take and give to us. We will place all our things at his disposal, so that in the kingdom of our will, given to him by us, nothing extraneous to us may enter anymore, but only our own things, and we may receive the fruits, the glory, the love, the honor of the kingdom of our will. Therefore, be attentive and let your flight in our volition be continuous."
July 5th, 1926. Jesus makes himself seen while writing what he says about his will in the depth of the soul, and then he gives a short account of it in words. "I was feeling invested by and pray to the supreme light of the eternal volition, and my always lovable Jesus made himself seen, standing in the depths of my soul, with a pen of light in his hand, in the act of writing on thick light, which seemed to be a canvas, but with light extended within my soul. And Jesus was writing and writing in the depths of this light. How beautiful it was to see him, with the indescribable mastery and speed. Then after he had written, as though opening the doors of my interior, he called the confessor with his hand, saying to him, 'Come to see what I myself write in the depth of this soul. I never write on paper or canvas,
because they are subject to perishing. But I delight in writing in the depth of light, enclosed in this soul, by virtue of my will. My characters of light are indelible and of infinite value. So when I have to manifest to her the truths about my will, first I do the work of writing there in the depth of her being, and then I speak to her, giving a short account of what is written in her. This is why she says what I have told her. She says it with few words, while when she writes, she does it at length. It is my writing that, overflowing outside of her soul, does not give a short account, but my extended truth, but as I myself wrote in it, her intense inheritance, her innermost interior. I remained surprised and with an unexplicable joy in seeing my sweet Jesus writing inside of me, and I could touch with my own hand that while in speaking, I'm able to say the little of what he tells me. Even more seems to me that he has only given me the topic. Then in writing, it is his interest to help me develop it as he pleases. And Jesus, all goodness, told me, my daughter, now your marvel ceases, and while you write, you feel the truths arise within you, though from within a fount. It is the work of your Jesus done in you, that overflowing from every part of your soul, pours order on paper, and the truths written in you, marked with characters of light. Therefore, let your fears cease, and do not want to limit yourself to the short account of my word, nor resist me when I want to go into more detail and have you write on paper what I wrote in your soul with so much love. How many times you force me to use my power and to overwhelm you so that you may not resist me in writing what I want. Therefore, let me do. It will be your Jesus' care that the truth may shine in everything.
July 8, 1926. Threats of new chastisements. How one must do a universal good. How one who must do a universal good must do and suffer more than anyone. I was fusing all of myself in the holy divine will, and my sweet Jesus made himself seen in my interior with his arms raised in the act of preventing divine justice from pouring over creatures, putting me also in his same position to have me do what he himself was doing. But creatures seem to incite divine justice to strike them. And Jesus is so tired. Lowering his arms told me, my daughter, what human perfidy. But it is right, it is necessary, that after so much tolerance, I free myself of so many old things that occupy creation, which, being infected, bring the infection to the new things, to the new little plants. I am tired of the fact that creation, my dwelling, given to man, but still mine, because preserved and vivified by me continuously, is occupied by servants, by ungrateful ones, by enemies, and even by those who don't even recognize me. Therefore, I want to move on by destroying entire regions and what serves as their nourishment. The ministers of justice will be the elements which, investing them, will make them feel the divine power over them. I want to purify the earth in order to prepare the dwelling place for my children. You will be always with me. My will always be your starting point, even in your littlest acts, because even in the littlest things, my will wants to have its divine life, its beginning and its end, nor does it tolerate that the human will may make its little appearances into its kingdom. Otherwise, you would often go out into the kingdom of your will, which would disennoble you. And this does not at all befit one who must live in the kingdom of my will. Now, my daughter, just as the pains of the celestial queen and mine, as well as my death, like sun, made the fruits present in the kingdom of redemption mature, fecundate, and become sweet in such a way that everyone can take them, and they are fruits which bring health to the sick and sanctity to the healthy. In the same way, your pains, grafted with ours and matured with the heat of the Son of my will make the fruits present in the kingdom of my will mature. They will be so many and so sweet and delicious that whoever wants to take them and enjoy them will no longer adapt himself to the unripe, tasteless, and noxious fruits of the miserable and squalid kingdom of the human will. You must know that one who must be the first to form a kingdom, to bring a good, to form a work, must suffer more than anyone and do more than anyone. He must direct, facilitate things and means and prepare what is needed so that finding the raw materials of that work and seeing it done, others may imitate it. This is why much have I given you and do give you, so that you may form the raw materials for those who must live in the kingdom of my will. Therefore, be attentive and disposed to what I give you and to do what I want from you.
When we've heard about universal teaching and universe being in the universal, we have to just remember what that means. It means we're with Jesus from the very beginning. Where anybody that's, anytime you hear universal, you know, it's somebody that's past, present, and future in the divine will. And that, of course, that would be Louisa. And now after her, anybody that's going to be there. But when we are in the, now if we were in the universal now, we would have to accept suffering and accept it to make up for all those that aren't, and for all the sin that's gone in the world. So that's when we hear universal. We heard it earlier, and now he's referring to universal here in this reading. So universal is when we hear it, it means that we are one with Jesus from the very beginning. Universal is from the very beginning, because we can, if we're in the divine will, we're universal, because we're going all the way back to the beginning. And we're one with Jesus that way, all the way back to the beginning of the divine will. So keep that in mind when you hear universal, that it's what happens to us when we're in the divine will, that we are going all the way back to the beginning. And that's identified as universal. Amen.
Should we stop, Maureen? Should we stop here?
Salve Regina,
Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching today that bring us closer to you. And thank you for giving us the graces to be here this morning. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedict Gospelos Omnipotens, Pater, et Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.